be just discussion being recorded. Being alone. Good, bad, sometimes good. When is it good? One at a time. Yes. Where? Where did God say it's not good for man to be alone? Okay. So He made the church. He made the woman to help the man. Alright. So it's not good for man to be alone. He made the marriage relationship. But any other ideas in scripture about being alone or not being alone? Good and bad. You've got to speak quick, otherwise we'll be here till lunchtime just on this one word. A little louder so everyone can hear.
Meant to be alone to commune with his father.
Good.
Hebrews 10:25, encouragement to come together.
Good. Look at it, Hebrews 10:25. That's a great verse. Great verse. When someone tickles your memory, then you all get happy because you say, "Ah, oh, I know that verse. I'm also memorizing scripture." Good. Hebrews 10:25. What does it say? Yeah, it's a habitual thing, right? To be alone. Why do we like to be alone? In the bad way. In opposition to this kind of exhortation in scripture. Why do we like to be alone? What are some of the reasons we like to be alone? We don't mix. Okay, good idea. Good fact. Hema didn't hear you, so you got to repeat it. Some of us here with only half a year. Getting old. Good. Anything else? Any other reason? I didn't hear you. Why? Can you be more specific? Okay, is it only to encourage others that we should be together? Remember what I said this morning? Anybody remember what I said this morning? About disciple. Together as disciples. What should we think about when we think of being disciples together? Change ourselves. What else? It's oftentimes what? Yes. And even that idea, you know, I'm encouraging someone. I am going to someone. I am going to help someone. Even that very simple thing, I'm going to help someone, gives us the idea that I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm coming from a stage of life where I know something more than you do. You do. We're going to, in this time together, think about ourselves and then others. Alright? And it's a continuous process, lifetime. But anyway, together. Why do we like to be alone in the bad way, in the negative way, in the not so good way? Hide our sin?
You can't get along with
somebody. That's right. Conflicts, huh? Good, you're getting there. Get more specific. I think what Carol Lynn was saying is it takes time and effort. Okay? I'm just bringing all down a notch. You know, don't think about going to help and mentor and disciple someone first. It takes time and effort to be with others. What happens when we're with others that we don't necessarily like? So what do we have to do? Because we don't always agree with everything everybody does or is like. And so, Okay, what else? There are always issues, so what is the problem with that? Are we ever going to find someone who is exactly in agreement with us? Thinks like us, behaves like us, brushes their teeth like us? It's uncomfortable, absolutely. So all these ideas put together as we think of the theme, we are together as disciples of Jesus. You cannot be a disciple if we are not in relationship. Please understand that. We cannot be disciples if we are not in relationships. And we can't really think of only discipling somebody else and not needing ourselves to be helped and encouraged. All right. Together as what? As disciples. What ideas come to your mind as you think of the word disciple? Just the word disciple. Huh? Follower. My Bible, please. Okay. I guess Anita has all the answers. What about others? We're together, right? So we better all participate. We're together. No one is superior. Sometimes silence is indicating I know more, but I won't say it because I want to let the poor weaklings speak. You know? Good. See? We need each other. Absolutely. He just helped me. You saw it? And what did I feel? See, he corrected me. So what? So what? What did I feel? Yeah, I felt encouraged. Interesting. Simple things, right? Together as disciples, what does the word disciple conjure in your mind? Huh? Even Sumuk can speak. Good. I beg your pardon? Okay. Now, let's introduce the together people, no? That's Rajesh. Have I got your name right? Martin. Rajesh is somewhere else. There's Rajesh. Rajesh and Martin and Jyoti. They are one family with... where are all the children? Stand up. Or put your hand up. Don't stand. Yeah. What's your names?
David.
Two D's. David and Dorothy. Martin and Jyoti from Mumbai Bible Church. Right? And Rajesh. Have the others been introduced? What's your name? Theophil?
Craig.
I think the acoustics are not so good, huh? And Almeida. And who else? Concepta. Have I met you all before?
Yes.
All of you all? Including Martin? No. Martin and Jyoti is first time, right? Good. Rajesh also. NEC. NEC. Welcome. And the DCCs are too many to introduce, so we'll let them get to know you during lunch. And we have the Wakat group. That's Stephen, Amol. Kalyani. And? Vishal, you're new. Okay, we've seen each other. That's it. And more coming. So, disciple. Any more ideas? Good. Together as disciples of whom? Of Jesus. So, we're looking at that and we're going to move on. And you have notes, you have some paper, you can use the back of your song sheets or your timetable, or if you have note paper, good. I hope you come to camp with pen. I just made an announcement and I don't want anyone to feel bad, but if you're going to Mukti in shorts, you might have a few heart attacks. So please be careful and sensitive to Mukti's girls and widows and others who are you know, in a different mode from Mumbai and Pune. Okay, we continue and we move on. Look at Matthew chapter 28. And we're moving quickly through this. Amol, how do I use this? How do I get rid of this? I'm in a meeting, I'll call you back. So, Matthew 28:19-20. That was an elderly Christian leader in Kolhapur. Look at Matthew 28:19-20. What does it say? Let's read it. I want you to look first of all at the words make disciples. Alright? See those two words? What does the word make help you to think about? What does make, the word make, mean?
I'm involved.
Okay, but let's get a dictionary meaning. Not what it implies, but what is the definition? Make. According to the dictionary, to make involves what?
Out of nothing to make something.
Is it out of nothing? Then you'd be God. Alright. So, see, we're fine-tuning our thinking. To make, what does it involve? You make chapatis? Ingredients, effort, time. What else? What do you understand by make? You've got to
think something.
You produce, right? You produce, you create. Are you getting the idea? You have to create, produce. There has to be some result. You can't take dough and say I'm making chapatis and it doesn't happen, right? Hey, welcome. You tell your guest, I'm going to make you some chapatis. And then he's waiting and waiting and you've been working hard. And you spend a whole hour and no chapatis come out. You haven't made chapatis. Simple, right? You make, you produce, you create. And what is the goal of this making? In this context, you're making what? Who is supposed to make disciples? Look at the context in Matthew chapter 28. Who is supposed to make disciples? Disciples of Jesus. Just the 11? Only those 11 were supposed to make disciples, not us. Huh? I can't hear you.
It applies to us.
Yes, it does. Over history, for all of us, that is known as the Great Commission. Alright? All over the world where Christians are, we understand Matthew chapter 28 and that whole passage, including verses 19 and 20. Are these the last two verses of Matthew's Gospel? Alright? They say it's the last words of Jesus. And it's paralleled in other Gospels and even in some similar words in the book of Acts. The last words of Jesus, very important last words of anybody, but more so of Jesus. And he has told believers to make disciples. And where should we make disciples? Yeah, all nations. And that word, scholars tell us, is not really saying every country, but it's saying every group of peoples, every ethnic group, every kind of people. So Marwaris, Baniyas, there's a Baniya here, right? Gujaratis and every kind of people group, farmers, tribals, everywhere. Make disciples. That's the first and last thing that we should be thinking about. We are to make disciples. Now, I took this from the InterVarsity Bible Dictionary. Look at it. This is for the scholars amongst us. You know, this is the Greek word. You see this Greek word, mathetes. It means a learner, in contrast to a didaskalos, who is a teacher. You get these two words? So to be a disciple, according to the Bible dictionary, you are a learner and there has to be a teacher. So it denotes one who follows one's teaching, just like disciples of John, or disciples of the Pharisees, or disciples of Moses. It is also used of the disciples of Jesus. And there's A, B, C, in a wide sense of Jews who became his adherents, some secretly, but especially of the 12 apostles, and of all who manifest they are disciples by abiding in his word. In the Acts, those who believed upon him and confessed him. I'm going to show that there is a fallacy. There is a gap in this definition. Because you turn to John chapter 6. Let's look at it straight away. John chapter 6. And as you browse through chapter 6 of John, you come to the place where Jesus in John 6 is talking about being the bread of life. Did you get it? All of you can find things in the Bible. See, as I teach you this weekend, I'm going to assume you are as intelligent in finding things as I think you are. Some of us are, you know, at different levels of intelligence, but that doesn't mean that we are not able to find these things. So look for a verse where it says Jesus is saying, I'm the bread of life. Okay, he's saying, I'm the bread of life. And then what happens? He keeps speaking. Then he says, you've got to eat me. Do you find that verse? Do you find it? Yes, no. Speak it out loud. We're together. Learn to be together. So if I'm together, everybody should hear me. Did you hear? Yeah, good. And then you look at verse 60. What happens? Let's read from 60 to 65. Loud, somebody.
When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This is a hard saying. Who can listen to it?" But Jesus, knowing in himself that the disciples were grumbling about this, said to them, "Do not take offense at this. And what if you were to see the Son of Man, if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life."
Okay, stop there. What do you see about some of the disciples? Many of the disciples. Sorry, not some. Many. What happened to many of them? Yeah. They couldn't accept it. So there can be disciples who can't accept the teaching that Jesus gives. Are they disciples? See? This definition and what we are seeing actually happen. Then, look further. Verse 64 now.
"But there are some of you who do not believe."
So, there can be a lot of disciples, many disciples, who don't what? Huh? Did you understand that? So you can say, I'm a disciple, I'm following, I'm learning, I'm doing all these things which the definition says, but I don't like some teachings of Jesus. They're hard for me. And there are some who say, I don't even believe in Jesus. And look further, what happens?
"For Jesus knew from the beginning who those were who did not believe, and who it was who would betray him."
Alright, so there are some who would even do what? Betray Jesus. So don't use the word disciple with too much confidence. Even about anybody in our church. Was it few or many in this group? Many. So as we begin, I want to caution us about definitions. Be careful, and then what happens?
"And he said, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by the Father."
That's an important verse, right? If you're not really called by the Father, you can keep being in the church and coming to all the meetings, but in your heart, you don't really believe. You don't really believe. You're part of the big group that come and attend and enjoy the fellowship and the togetherness. But you don't like a lot of the teaching of Jesus, of the Bible. And you don't even believe. Because a disciple is a mere follower and a mere learner. And maybe even doing a lot of things that we think, oh, he's a believer, she's a believer. Even says a few words, so many words, and then what happens?
"After this, many of the disciples turned back and no longer walked with him."
That's a good verse, because it says, they called it off. They said, I don't want to be a disciple anymore, not this man. They stopped following him. See, they stopped being disciples. So that's a good thing. Just understand that. So when we talk about discipleship, making disciples, being disciples, let's be careful. We can have a lot of fake disciples. And maybe even some sitting here are not really disciples. I'm not saying you're fake. I'm saying you're not. You don't really believe. You haven't really understood, appreciated, and seen the implications in your own life of the teachings of Jesus. Alright? Jesus said, go make disciples, baptizing and teaching to observe. See the words to observe. What does that mean? You're still in Matthew chapter 28. See, we are to make disciples by going, baptizing, teaching. But teaching what? To obey. I like the word obey. To obey. How much? See this word? All. So as we make disciples, we have to think of the all that has to be obeyed. We are selective. Even sitting here, many of you are selective about what you will obey. See, I'm selective. I don't like to submit. You know, submission is difficult for even me. How many of you find submission easy? Only the dog who is trained submits, because he has been trained to submit. Human beings, we have a soul. We have a soul. We are persons. We're, you know, we got our own mind and we've got our own emotions and we've got our own will. And so we find it hard to surrender to somebody else. Observe all that I have commanded you. Every command. Now, it'll be very interesting to make a list of all the commands in the Bible. Not just the Ten Commandments. And see how many commands I am not observing. And am I to observe this on Sunday and not Monday? Some commands only on Tuesdays. Are there categories of commands? Some can be overlooked. Some are for only men. Some are only women. You know, we got to work through all that and decide. Am I willing to surrender and obey all that I have been commanded by Jesus? I put this down because as I traveled around, and now it's been a long many years of traveling. I traveled when I was in my teenage, from the age of 17. I've been traveling all over Maharashtra with EU and college students. And then I've been traveling through the Love Maharashtra ministry. Then even when DCC started, I've been traveling. I guess my coffin might travel too, you know. But as I've traveled, I've seen this is a missing understanding even among theologians in the good churches. Sometimes we think the foreign based churches are much clearer in their understanding, but we all have missed it. And I want you to turn to Luke 14, 25 to 33 and look at that text. Luke 14, 25 onwards. And you can look at the context and look at that first verse. Who was following Jesus? Were going along with him. Just like in chapter 6 of John. Who was going with him? What kind of crowds? Great crowds. Large crowds. So that's maybe a few thousand. How can we assume without making an error that it could be a few thousand? And 5,000, and he always fed thousands. He never had a dinner party with just his family. Always big dinner parties. Hema loves to cook. does Rhoda too, you know, and the women. So what about feeding the 5,000 when our churches grow? You know, then we'll have community lunches every day. 5,000. So there were crowds following him. And we know from elsewhere that crowds kept following him because they wanted to see miracles and maybe get, you know, fish every day for lunch. Large crowds. Do you think they were believers? Did they really love Jesus? I want to establish this. What do you think? Were they believers? How many were believers among these large crowds? Now, we don't know. But we can be sure many were unbelievers, right? And so Jesus speaking to all of them, right? And what's he saying? What's he saying? If anyone comes to me, look at those words. If anyone comes to me, so he's speaking this sermon, these words to believers or unbelievers? Largely unbelievers. And I caught this early in my Christian life, that unbelievers were told not just come to Jesus to have forgiveness of sins. Unbelievers were told not just to repent and be baptized, but Jesus himself, in a gospel meeting, in an evangelistic meeting, his earliest messages to unbelievers was what kind of sermon? Huh? About being a disciple. What it really meant to be a disciple. I hope you can see that being a disciple is not early steps, not the second step definitely, but from day one. If you are a believer, if you are saved, if you are born again, you are what? Hello? We're together in this. Don't let me do all the talking. And I want some interaction. You know, you can even correct me. I like it. So, discipleship is the first steps. Now connect with the Great Commission, Matthew 28. You know the great command Jesus said to us, which missionaries use to say, this is the missionary verse. Go and make disciples. Go into all the world and be missionaries, church planters. Really is evangelistic. Is the gospel. From day one, if I tell someone to be a Christian, I'm saying, be a disciple. If I'm telling someone, be born again, I'm saying, be a disciple. If I'm telling someone, repent of your sins, I'm saying, be a disciple. You got it? So you don't become a disciple after a few years of being saved. That is the big mistake. The first ministry I was so committed to and still love made, EU. EU kept teaching us, you go to gospel camp, get saved. Then you go to discipleship camp and become a disciple. You got it? Hey, no. As soon as you are saved, you become a disciple. If I am a pastor, if I am an evangelist, if I am a missionary, what do I do when I go to someone who's unsaved? I try to make him a disciple. I don't start by getting him saved first. Getting him saved is getting him to be a disciple. It's the same. Get that clear in your mind. And then you won't sing, I surrender all, every 3 months, you know, somehow to come into that. Oh, yeah. Now let's drag the whole church of saved people to become more committed. S.I. Aravalo used to be with us. You remember him? He's messed his life now, but you know, when he was at DCC, he said, You know, in India, I learnt one thing, that all Christians are committed to commitment. Everywhere Christians talk about, are you committed? Are you committed? Get more committed. Why did you lose your commitment? What's going on? So funny. Commitments to commitment. You know? Are you committed? Any question? Let's move on. So he's told us right from the start, if anyone comes to me and does not, and see here, he's telling in his gospel message, don't repent and don't, he's not saying repentance is not important. He's saying at this juncture, in this thing, hate his own father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yea, your own life, you cannot be my disciple. If you look at verse 26, you can summarize it as what? Following Jesus costs you what? No. Don't generalize. You, just your family?
Yourself.
Yeah. So what's it? Summarize it. Yes, all relationships, all near and dear ones. So Jesus is saying, you've got to eat my body, drink my blood. You've got to follow me. You know, following me is not just liking my teachings. And we're going to see more about that. It's not just saying wonderful, wonderful. And singing a lot of songs. And enjoying the music. And worship. You know, worship is music. Sorry, it's not. Worship is a whole life that is like this. If my mom, dad, wife, children stand in the way of my relationship with Jesus Christ, what's going to happen? I shouldn't leave my wife and children, but I'm going to have a hard time being a disciple of Jesus. So you better choose your spouses carefully. You get it? There's no turning back after getting married and saying, I'm going to divorce you. There are people who want divorce just because they become believers. And they say, their spouses are unbelievers. You're stuck with it. You're in bad shape. If your spouse is half-hearted, you're in bad shape. You get it? Because 1 Corinthians chapter 10 tells you, you've got to please your wife. You've got to please your husband. You're in bad shape. I mean, the church can feel sorry for you and you drag the church with you because the church is together. You got it? The church is together. We all hinder one another with our problems. Please understand that. Together as disciples means if you have a problem and your family is all sorting out problems, whatever it is, financial, relationship problem, you drag the whole church with you. Together. That's why I emphasize together as disciples of Jesus. Alright. You're getting it? So all near and dear ones. Next. Look at the blue. Verse 27. It's not only my relationships with all the near and dear ones. Verse 27. What does it say? Whose cross?
His.
Not hers, huh?
His or hers.
Yes, his or hers. Own cross. The word own is important. You have to carry whose cross? Yeah. And your cross is not your mother-in-law. Alright. Your cross is not a disease. When anyone carried their own cross, what happened? When did you ever carry your own cross in those days when this was spoken by Jesus? A criminal carried his own cross or her own cross for what? To die. So Jesus is saying, carry your own cross and do what? Huh? Kalyani, what are you saying? Die. Whether to yourself or to your whatever, you die. You die. But do you die physically? What, you carry your own cross to die and
follow Jesus.
So you're dying to follow Jesus. See? Do you say, I'm dying for a good ice cream. I'm dying to meet you. I'm dying. So here, I'm dying to follow Jesus. Romans 12, look at it. What does it say? Romans 12. Open it first. Read it. Present your bodies. Look at it. It doesn't say present your mind. It doesn't say present your soul. Your soul is already saved. You present your body. You know what your body is? Your hands, your feet, your nose, your eyes, your physical bodies. Present your bodies as what? Living sacrifice. See, a sacrifice is usually to die. But here Jesus, like Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. Don't die physically. Don't be a martyr. See, don't have a martyr complex. You live for me. You live for me by dying to yourself and your needs and your greeds. Your ambitions. See, I came this morning. What would I have loved to do? Sleep. But I have to spontaneously die. Right? But actually, it was not that much of a death because I enjoy being here. So that's not a good example. You know? What do you like for yourself? How do you spend your money? How much do you let go of your money? Really? How much do you let go of your time? How much do you let go of the things you like? See, the things you like will affect your death to follow Christ. Giving up what you don't care about is not dying. Write it down. Giving up what you don't care about is not dying. You care about some things, right? And if you don't get that, and you don't get your own way, what do? You make a big song and dance, right? And then, look at 33. Look at 33. What does it say? How many cannot be my disciple? None of you. Not one. Who does not give up? How much? I had a friend. Bob Crow. Bob Crow was Canadian from the Royal Air Force or whatever, Royal something. And he came and gave his life as a missionary in Andhra Pradesh, studied Telugu language, translated whole Bible into Telugu, became an expert pundit in Telugu. He's dead and gone to heaven. Amazing character. God called him to be unmarried all his life. Many years as a missionary in India. He read this. He had read it many times, he had translated it, he had preached on it. He read it, got convicted. Took out a sheet. And he put it on the ground. And he went everywhere and took all his possessions. Dumped it there. Lord, I've never really surrendered everything. I want to literally do it, you know. Dump everything on the sheet. And then he realized, my goodness, let me dump myself also. And he dumped himself. And as he folded his hands and was doing it, my watch. I surrender all, Lord. What an impact. Have you ever done something like that? or you think this is eccentric? Have you ever done it? Your wallet? Have you done it? Everything you have, your jewelry, your glasses, your car, your guitar, everything. Is he saying yes, everything? And is it in future tense? Oh, I've heard preaching. If Jesus wants it, if Jesus wants it, then I'm ready. Just have a readiness of mind. That's wrong. Jesus is saying what? Is he saying, just be ready when I ask for it? Has he already asked for it? Is it in the present tense? Have you already done it? Your house? Everything? See, I'm going to mentor you. That's nice. I'm going to tell you to surrender all. What about me? Have you done it? And are you continuously in that mode? Or you need your gadgets? And you need your things? And you need your shirt? You need... It's none of you can be my disciples who does not give up all his own possessions. Own. Not your mother's possessions. Now I forsook my glass somewhere. You know, if you do this, what's going to happen? I remember very vividly, you know, because it was in those days when I had next to nothing. And I saved up, because I had an ambition to learn to play the guitar. And I saved up. And there was an English lady who had been a great influence in my life in the Bible class. And she had a guitar. And she was leaving India. And I said, can I buy your guitar? She said, sure. And I'll sell it to you for 300. And I had not even 300 rupees. So I said, I'll pay you in installments. She said, sure, Chris, anything for you. So by installments, I gave it. And she had gone, so I was just giving it to the mission. And when I finished, I had that guitar and I had no time because I was traveling. And everyone would borrow my guitar. And then finally they broke my guitar. And I never had an opportunity to learn the guitar. And the one I had invested in was gone. And you know what? Who cares? Because it was used for what? If you don't give up your possessions, what will happen? When it breaks and it's lost and it's gone, you feel bad and you cry. And you lose sleep over it, right? I've lost and lost and lost. And God has given me capacity not to feel bad. When people even promise to return things, and it's gone. If I feel bad, it's for a moment. And for real issues. But Jesus said what? Give up everything. And don't cry when you lose it. It's not if he wants it, then you are ready to give it. No, no, no. You've already given it up. Are you a disciple? In that sense, not in a dictionary sense, not even a Bible dictionary sense. See, that's what we're talking about. Let's move on. Two more texts. Look at John 1:12. You see what I'm talking about? How do you begin your Christian life? What does it mean to be a Christian, born again, saved? We've already seen you're a disciple, right? But in John 1:12, what does it say? Anybody? What does it say? You become a child of God. Okay, how? according to this verse? Believe and receive. To receive means to believe, according to John chapter 1 verse 12. But if you receive Jesus, if you believe in Jesus, you have the right. Power is not some influence, electrical power. It is the authority, the right to be a child of God. And someone has nicely said, God doesn't have any grandchildren. Right? So you don't say, I'm a Christian because my dad is a Christian. Or my mom is a Christian. Because you don't have authority to become a grandchild of Jesus or of God. You yourself have to become one who believes. And in verse 13 it says, who are born not of the will of the flesh or the will of man, but of God, right? So it's a spiritual birth. So how do you receive it? Now don't stay just with that verse, because you need to move on to Colossians 2:6. In Colossians 2, he's talking on many things. And he's really saying, keep growing in Christ. But to say keep growing in Christ, he says, you do that just as you received. You know, to grow in Christ, you continue in the same way as you received Christ. I want to grow. I want to mature. How should I mature? Just as I received Christ. How did I receive Christ? According to that verse. How did you receive Christ? As you received Jesus Christ, who? The Lord. Did you realize that? Which evangelist, which pastor, which time, even you, when you do evangelism, say you've got to surrender to Christ, not only as Savior, but as... See, if you want to mature in Him, walk in Him. Walk in Him. As you received the Lord, you didn't receive the Savior, you received the Lord. Did you realize He can't be Savior if He is not Lord? Who died on the cross? The Lord of glory. Actually, there is a verse. The Lord of glory died. Acts somewhere. Someone find it for me. But just think of it. You received Christ Jesus, the Lord. You didn't receive the Savior. He had capacity to save you only because He is God, the Lord. And the Lord means what? God of heaven and earth. And because He is God of heaven and earth, He has all authority in heaven and on earth, including your life. And so when you got saved, you received the Lord. You didn't receive the Savior. You received the Lord. Are you a disciple? Are you really saved? Are you a Christian? See, for me, it's all synonymous. It's all equal terms. I'm a Christian. That means I'm a believer. That means I'm saved. That means I'm born again. That means I'm a child of God. That means I'm a disciple of Jesus. That means Jesus is not Savior, but the Lord who is my Savior. I didn't receive Christ as Savior. I received Him, the Lord, as my Savior. You got it? Walk in Him. Continue walking with the Lord. Continue walking not with the Savior but with the Lord. He's in charge. He's in charge. What is my obligation if He's in charge? Huh? Submit and obey. Submit and obey. Submit and obey. Every step. As I walk with Him, Lord, what is Your will? Therefore, Paul keeps saying, we make it our aim to please the Lord. Got it? What does it say?
None of the rulers of the state understood this.
Yes.
For if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory.
Thank you. What is it? Now look at Romans 10:9. Read that verse. Confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you will be saved. When will you be saved? When you confess Him as
Lord.
How did we miss the point? And everywhere we say, you know, He has accepted Jesus as Savior. He has accepted Jesus as Savior. We have demoted Jesus. And we have misunderstood salvation. You know, why do you and I struggle to mature? Why? Why do we struggle to obey? Because we think it's optional. We really think it's optional. We really think, oh well, you know, there are grades of Christians. But if I understood from day one that He is Lord, God and Master, I have to confess His Lordship. He is Lord. I have to believe that He is risen. He's alive. His resurrection gives me power to live in obedience to Him. See? What will happen? I will be saved. If I do not know Him as Lord and confess Him as Lord and forget He is risen. If Jesus is risen, what happens? If I really know He is risen, if I believe in my heart, see, the heart is the seat of my life. I believe with all my heart. We say that, no? With all my heart, I love You. Oh, really? With all my heart, I believe Jesus is risen. What will happen to me? Right now, what will I be thinking? If Jesus is risen, where is He? Tell me, where is He? Hello? Just in my heart, He's right here. He's here, He's here. He's there. Suppose I'm doing something wrong, where is He? Right there. Right there. When I'm getting angry, where is He? I believe with all my heart He's there and I want to kill you. But He's I believe in my heart, so how can I hate Him? How can I fight and complain and live my own life if He is alive? And He's alive, He's right here. How can I mess around? Be selfish. He's right there. See, I don't believe with all my heart that He is risen from the dead. I don't confess with my mouth He is Lord. Oh, I get depressed. Oh, I have this gene in me, you know. I get depressed. I get lonely. I get so lonely. I feel like suicide sometimes. I believe with all my heart Jesus is alive. I want to die. See? You laugh because you know it doesn't sound right. But you do it, right? I'm going to spend 10,000 rupees on shoes. Jesus is alive. Jesus. That's the kind of shoes I want. Maybe 40,000 bucks. Because I love that brand. I'm just giving you weird examples, huh? But it's not really that weird, because you go into the shops, the brands. How much do I spend on eating out? When there's so much need around me. Jesus is Lord. And Jesus is alive when I do all those things. Am I really a disciple? Alright, we need to completely change our minds. The first step to real conversion is recognizing and surrendering to Jesus the Lord. Only as we get this right can we be right when we think of being disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so let's see. Defining it. Who's a disciple? Look at Matthew 4:19. What did Jesus say?
Follow me.
Follow me. You know the problem with just following Jesus? You become I'm following. I'm watching. Wait and see. You know, if I was there, I would do it better. The disciple is not only a follower, he's a learner. Matthew 11. What did Jesus say? Come to me, learn of me, or learn from me. You'll find rest for your souls. The problem with being just a learner is you become a academic theologian. Oh, you know all the doctrines. My goodness. So you're a follower, you're a learner. A disciple is not just follower, learner, he is also one who should become like the master. Luke 6:40. Become like the master. When you're fully trained, you'll be like the teacher. You also need to become a reproducer. And we're going to keep working through this, all right? A disciple is not trained until he is able to do for someone else what you have done for him. So you pass it on. We're going to learn more about this. And to do that, you need to keep teaching. Not just intellectual concepts, but the application of those concepts to life. See, we talked about the Lordship of Jesus. Look at 8 of John, verse 31. It's lunch break, right?
Thank you.
Look at all those people.